The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
I've had a ton of conversations with parishioners over the last week and a half, and in reflection, many of those conversations were pure joy, but there was a pattern with a number of them where if I asked the question, how's life? Common response was, busy. And then the second is, how's the summer been? And most people will say, it's gone too fast. It's a common experience, and it kind of implies that I just wish we had a little more time, you know, a little bit more summertime, a little more free time, that sort of thing. There's so much to do, so much to accomplish. If I just had more time, it'd solve everything. And that was kind of the promise behind all efforts of technology, really, is to say, man, if we could just become more efficient in this task or that task, then we'll have this extra time. And in reality, most of the technology hasn't actually produced that per se, because if it is more efficient, then we don't just have more time, we fill it. It's just more and more, and we can do more, and in the end, we become more exhausted. It's really not about, man, if I could have more time. It's not about having enough time. In the end, it's about having the right priorities. Even non-religious authors have noted this. I think of the self-help author Stephen Covey, who noted that one of the key things is that even as leaders, we spend too much time on what's unimportant but seem urgent, whereas we should spend more time on things that are important but are less urgent. And I'm preaching to myself today, as I am every weekend. And more than ever before in my life, I've had to, in the past week or so, look hard at my calendar and determine the priorities. What's in my calendar essential? What is preferable and ideal? What's optional? And then what's unnecessary? In the midst of that decision-making and discernment, then there's the texts and the calls and the emails, which capture my attention and make me feel like I'm playing whack-a-mole. All of a sudden, it's hard to, and a personal weakness that some of you may share is, I don't want to let anybody down. I don't want to disappoint anybody or say that word, no. So we have a wonderful staff here that it helps me, but wouldn't it be really nice if I just had somebody that would tell me in my calendar what's essential and what's not? But that's the point of the gospel today. We do. This is a gospel where most Americans don't like it because it reminds us of something we're not good at. It strikes home a little too much. And just to clarify, the story of Martha and Mary, sisters and sisters of Lazarus living in Bethany. It's not that Mary is like lazy. And it's not that Martha is doing anything evil. Primarily, it's because Mary understands something in the moment that Martha doesn't. Mary understands that Jesus came to their home not to be fed, but to feed them. Mary recognized that this is the Son of God made flesh. This is the eternal Word who is present to them, who is there as the way, the truth, the life, that wishes to reveal his heart, reveal his grace and power, but give them peace and joy in relationship with him, and to set their priorities. And meanwhile, Martha was so preoccupied that she couldn't receive that and therefore could not make the priorities proper. And if she skips that step, there's a caution in us to sit at the feet of Jesus in the context of prayer, in a posture of attentiveness and receptivity. That's where he has the chance to reset our priorities and to make decisions clear. And that's the key to not being worried and anxious about many things, because ultimately the to-do list will always be too long for the day. And you'll always be thinking about the things I didn't do or couldn't do, and that makes me anxious. Well, if I look to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And he makes it clear, this is what I'm asking of you, and this is what I'm not asking of you. Then I don't feel guilty for not doing what he didn't ask me to do. Father John Ricardo came to our parish a couple of years ago, and I'll never forget his comment to a number of us staff. He said, so often at parishes, you pray at the beginning of meetings to get to the work. Shouldn't we pray in order to know what the work is? Let him set the agenda. Let him direct. That's what Mary was able to do. And therefore, she had the peace and joy of receiving this clarity of truth from him. If we skip that step in our daily routine, the result is we might get some things accomplished, but it will be hectic. It will be frazzled. It will be frenzied and frayed. It will be distracted. And in the end, the people we're serving will become resentful of them, angry, and yes, anxious. So I do believe that every baptized and confirmed Catholic, it's reasonable to give God 10 to 15 minutes to be at his feet and not just talk at him, but to receive and let him set the agenda for the day. It is a posture that he lauds with Mary in the gospel today. I will also say the next step is, if we do give God that time, which I think is reasonable, And here's just an aside, at the end of our life, at our judgment, I can list all the things I accomplished and all the good works I did. And in the end, he'll ask me, did you do the one thing necessary? He'll ask, did you spend time with me? Did you give me your attention? Did you receive my saving word? That's a question he'll ask with certainty. And Martha learned it, because she's a saint in the Catholic Church. She shares a feast day with her sister and her brother. That's later in July. It's beautiful. She's Saint Martha. She learned. And she's gazing upon the face of the Lord for all eternity. So when we do give God that time, which is a decision of priority, no longer after this gospel can we say, I don't have time to pray. Once we make the priority and make the time, the next question is, interiorly, my mind and my heart, am I interiorly still being a Martha? Is my mind and my heart elsewhere? And that's the next level of personal prayer. And so, the parents of Graham David, as he grows older, you can tell him about the one thing necessary, but he'll need it to be modeled. And it will always be a decision to show this young man what true prayer looks like. We'll be praying for you as you model to him Christian prayer. We ask the Lord through the intercession of Martha and Mary today that we always, always choose the one thing necessary.